So it sounds like Michigan health officials have kind of narrowed down this the potential
source
of cyclosporiasis to lettuce.
Yes.
Lettuce or bags of lettuce. Mm-hmm. What was it? Leafy greens?
Leafy greens.
But they're not ruling out anything else.
Right.
Like cilantro, they've talked about raspberries and cilantro, things like that. Mm-hmm. But they're not ruling anything else out. But lettuce seems to be, and it has been in the past,
yeah,
the culprit for more cases popping up. And so what do restaurants do in order to prevent something like this from originating in one of their restaurants? Well, Amanda Smith is the Executive Vice President of Workforce Development at the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association and joins us this morning. Amanda, it's good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's when I went to the grocery store the other day and I was walking through the produce section, there was significantly less there. Some of the berries were gone, like, you know, those little standalone coolers, empty. You could tell there was far less lettuce available as well.
Yeah.
How then is that affecting the restaurant industry? Are they still able to get these ingredients, and how are they managing all of this?
Yeah, so right now they are still able to get them. There hasn't been a formal recall on any specific brand, but they're all following the CDC recommendations, washing the lettuce, removing the outer leaves, not using any bags. So those are some of the safety protocols that have been released to date.
I know many, you know, people assume restaurants just simply trust their suppliers. How extensive is the food safety system before fresh produce ever reaches a customer's plate?
Well, produce is a little bit more challenging than a lot of other things. Meat's been one of those things and historically has been recalled, right? Mm-hmm. Now there's so much testing in place that it never really makes it to the consumer. Produce is really hard to test. Sometimes in different outbreaks, it's grown into the plant. And it's just whether you're getting that produce in a restaurant, at the grocery store, wherever else. And we don't always cook our produce. A lot of the parasites or different foodborne illnesses with proper cooking temperature, we eliminate the health concern. A lot of produce is consumed raw, so it carries some risk.
Are you hearing from restaurants or companies that they're seeing a decline in people attending at this point?
Well, they really shouldn't be avoiding restaurants. The restaurants, you know, there hasn't been a source, right? Restaurants follow so many protocols to keep their guests safe all the time. This isn't just when there's a concern, right? Buying from a reputable supplier, you mentioned, making sure that they follow proper protocols, which in this case is washing all of the produce before it's served. You know, hand washing. I remember talking to people during COVID. I'm like, we practice hand washing every single day in a restaurant, not just during a certain outbreak, right? All the food safety standards, changing cutting boards, all those things restaurants do and are trained to do all the time. So there's no reason not to go to restaurants right now.
And, well, you know, just say for listeners who are planning to go out this week, dine out this week, are there some questions they should or shouldn't be asking, you know, their, you know, waiters or waitresses in the restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, make sure that the place that they're at knows the protocols, that they're washing all of their produce. That's about all we can do right now until we get more information from either DHHS or the CDC that tells us, you know, something different, or they say, you know, it's this specific brand or that specific brand and it's recalled. And then, of course, we'll avoid it completely. But making sure that they have some standards in place. And then if somebody's really not comfortable, there's a million other things you can eat. I know last night I made fajitas for my family. I cooked those peppers and I cooked the onions just to make sure, right? Made sure that produce was cooked down a little bit more than normal. We get to that 156 temperature that is also part of the CDC guidance.
Well, we all said we were going on the pizza diet. Didn't we say we were all?
Yeah, we're on the pizza diet right now until we get this thing figured out, Amanda.
You know, Michigan has some really incredible pizza joints.
Yes, we do.
So I think that's really good advice.
Yes, we do.
Don't forget the ice cream shops.
And ice cream.
Yes.
Yep. Ice cream day. I mean, coffee houses. There's an awful lot of things out there that you can do.
Yeah. No doubt. Amanda Smith, we appreciate your time. Thank you this morning.
Thanks.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, ice cream sounds good today when it's going to be, you know, a heat index of 100 degrees or better.
Better eat it quick.
Right.
You're going to be sitting in a puddle of rocky road pretty fast.
I know I got a couple of really nice ice cream shops near me, one in Berkeley, Clark's, and then one in Royal Oak, Ray's, of course, are great. And let me tell you, on a day like this, you go past, it's going to be a line.
I will tell you, like, growing up, it's always been Guernsey's for me. Guernsey's. I mean, I 100%. Grew up around the corner. Guernsey's is the spot. Right. And they got the big rock out front. You go, you get your ice cream, you go sit outside. Kids run around, probably fall off a rock. They cry for a minute and then they continue to eat their ice cream. It's tradition.
Well, listen, and Guernsey's has more than just the ice cream. I mean, they have some other great stuff too. So
they have the greatest breakfast burrito I've ever seen or ate. I love it.
It's a one stop shop over there.
Oh, yeah.
All of it's great. But like local ice cream parlors are the best.
Well, just so you have something to look forward to, both of you, I'm off Friday. A Friday, Ray's Ice Cream will be coming into the studio to bring you some ice cream.
Look at that.
So
you talked it up. I just talked it up.
Yeah!
Talk it up.
How about that?
Ask and you shall receive.
Look at that. Didn't even know.
Nope.
Didn't even know. Some good news for the Rocket Classic coming up here in just a couple of days. Brooks Koepka has committed to play in this tournament. A tournament official confirmed Koepka's commitment yesterday. This is from a Tony Paul piece in the Detroit News. It'll be the first time for Brooks Koepka playing in the Rocket Classic. This is the final tournament, unfortunately. Yeah, But this is a pretty darn good field. And you know, there has been criticisms that the field hasn't been as strong in the past.
Yeah.
But you've got the number four player in the world in Cameron Young. You've got Wyndham Clark, who's a two-time U.S. Open champion, number eight in the world. Xander Schauffele's playing. He's number 14 in the world. And Koepka now becoming the first player to leave the PGA Tour for LIV Golf, then coming back to the PGA Tour. And he will be in Detroit playing.
All good stuff, man.
Awesome.
They're going out with a bang.
They are.
You know?
They are. And it's great. Because again, it's good for the city. Even if this is truly the last one, having those eyeballs. And again, the story of Brooks Koepka playing is going to be a story in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even the attention on this tournament goes up even further. I think it's pretty darn cool. You ever have a problem with loud cars?
Yes, I was a loud car yesterday, and it was
like driving past your house or on the road or whatever.
It was a Cadillac.
A souped up Cadillac?
Yeah, it was like a Cadillac SUV, but it had like, you know, two exhausts, dual exhaust, and it was just loud. I don't know it's like maybe they made it that way. I don't think, you know, Cadillac made it that way. I think this person made it that way, but it was just loud.
Well, there is some new legislation that is aiming to stop loud cars.
Huh.
And we'll talk about it next here on JR Morning.